What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
This podcast has no fucking structure at all, but welcome to How to Not Comedy.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We got Chris Martin.
Woohoo.
Fucking comedian, fucking killer, dude. You had a great set last night.
Oh, dude, this room is so good.
Yeah.
And everyone who's done it from Brisbane has only said great things about it. So yeah, I was really excited about coming down and, you know, I didn't know who to approach. Someone said Elliot Stewart, and I've done some gigs with Elliot in Brisbane. So I was like, oh, sick, I know Elliot. And then, yeah, it just went from there.
The Boy Prince. That's his nickname now, the Boy Prince. Yeah. When Sam Talent was here.
He's doing the store this weekend.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing him, and then he's bloody in Sydney.
He's off doing big things.
Yeah.
I've been in chats with him about helping me get some fucking gigs in Sydney and shit, because I'm so terrible at hitting people up.
Oh, it's like the worst.
Asking for spots and shit. I'm just like, oh, man.
It's like part of it, but it's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
I would rather bomb so hard then hit up 10 producers and be like, can I have a spot?
Because it is bombing in a way, isn't it? Like, you're bombing at like asking for a spot.
Especially if they leave you unread.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, come on.
Bombed my proposal for me to do comedy with you, and now I've got to sit in it and be like, oh, what can I do better next time? Yeah, that's one type of bombing I do not like.
Yeah, it's even worse if you know them, like you've met them in person. You're like, oh, yeah, this guy will be cool, and they leave you on red, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, man.
Well, the awkward one is if you're at a gig with them, and they know that you've sent them a message, and they're still like, hey, how you doing? And they don't bring it up. You're like,
that's when you just go up and crush, and then you're like, fuck you, I told you.
Yeah.
You need me. No, I don't. Luckily for this podcast, we got Mitch, who's, you have like, I was thinking about this the other day. You have enough, like, lack of awareness that you will just hit people up to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you hit up Sam Talent, and I'm like, I would have never have done that.
Oh, yeah. But you need someone like that in the team. Yeah. Someone who just doesn't care.
But Sam said yes, too.
Like, he said yes.
He's going to do it.
Yeah.
But then he got tied up and couldn't make it, and we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, there's some people in like Brisbane do podcasts saying like, yeah, I just messaged Will Anderson out of the blue and Dave Hughes. And Dave Hughes actually got back to me and said, oh, thanks for the invite. No, I'll definitely come on, but I can't this weekend. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd never do that.
If that's the way to do it, like when they're turning you down but you don't know, they're just like, yeah, I'll definitely do it, but I don't have the time.
I think the worst thing they can say is no.
Yeah.
No one's going to ever be like, fuck you for messaging me, you piece of shit.
Oh, like,
Jesus. It's just a podcast. I'll fucking kill you next time I see you. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had a super awkward one last week. I hit up a comedian from Melbourne to come on. He was like, oh, yeah, I'll think about it. Oh, actually, no, I don't do podcasts.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, that's all good, dude.
Next minute, you're like, they're on a podcast. You're like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I appreciate the honesty, though. It's good.
So do I.
To just be like, nah.
He's clearly on the spectrum. The guy we're talking about is very, like, solidly on the spectrum.
You guys were vibing.
Yeah, dude. We're on the same wavelength. Yeah. That's why he let me open for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good show last night. I was fucking quite impressed with the Friday crowd. All good.
Yeah.
Luke killed it, MCing.
Yeah,
as always. Fucking really good shit.
Yeah, I had fun.
So what happened on your drive-in? You had some dramas.
Yeah, fucking... So just trying to be like a good road user, let people out on the road, and this fucking BMW just like on the horn, aggressively overtaking me. So I followed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just followed him. It's like, fuck you, cunt. I was on the horn too. Back at him. Like, I wasn't even mad. Like, it wasn't even, usually I'll lose my marbles and I'm like angry. I wasn't even angry. I was just doing it to be like, fuck you.
Mm.
Like, I'm just letting traffic in. Like, I'm just doing the things that I would like if someone was letting me into traffic.
Yeah.
But the BMW driver's like, no, fuck you. How dare you waste 10 seconds of my time? Like, fuck,
yeah,
dude.
It's a long weekend. People are crazy.
It's literally one of my biggest fears to be followed by someone. Like, I don't know, especially late at night. when there's only you and that other person on the road and they just keep taking the same turns. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm about to get skinned.
Yeah.
What's happening here? Yeah. And they always turn off one street. You go home and then they go straight.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're like, oh.
I know where I live.
Thank God.
They're coming back.
It's crazy. Like, I've been in trouble. I've only started, like, you know, with you in the horn, you're kind of like, fuck you. I never used to do that until I hit my 30s.
Mm.
And then I'm like all out. If someone cuts me off, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yo, burn.
Yeah.
And I did one. I was driving home from work on Ipswich Road, and some guy has like cut me off, and I like pulled up next to him. I was like, you fucking. And they were like the biggest cunts you've ever seen in your life. And I was like, but they did nothing. They kind of was just like, just stared at me, and I was like, okay, eyes forward, drive back to Brisbane. Okay.
Some reason I'm picturing them in like a big four wheel drive, and you just like in a fucking hatchback, just like,
it's pretty much.
That's exactly like, what it was with me. I was in a hatchback and they were in a big four-wheel drive.
I drive a Hyundai iX35, so it's like a big dad car.
Yep.
And they were like in like this like V8 or like Holden Commodore. Oh, yeah, it's just this muscle car. And I'm just like, hello. Sorry for swearing at you. Please don't kill me.
It is funny that you can still like use like stereotypes of cars. Like that's still allowed. You can be like this fucking BMW driver. But you can't be like this fucking something else.
It's fucking.
I had one guy chase me on the highway once because I was doing something stupid. Like in my, when I'm in my car driving, I'm always like, I just off with it. Or, you know, I'll listen to the radio or make up my own stories in my head.
Yeah.
And I just recently watched that. There's a stupid movie called The Core.
Oh, I remember.
Have you seen the core? Yeah. Where the, basically the core of the Earth shuts down. They go to, like, astronauts have to drill and, like, set off nukes to blow it up. There's a part in it where, like, the Senate's yelling at an astronaut. right? Yeah. And, he, like, really getting up this astronaut for doing something bad. But it wasn't the astronaut's fault, right? Mm. Because the magnetic field fucked off their navigation. Anyway, this is the thing. Anyway, I was driving my car, and for some reason that movie got into my head, and I was, like, the astronaut going, fuck you for yelling at me, Senate, you fuck. And I was like doing this big monologue in my car driving, like, fuck you. And then like, I stopped and I'm like, back to normal driving.
Yeah.
And there was a guy behind me lying, going, hey, what are you doing? So he thought I must have been yelling at him through the That's mirror. So and he was like, what's your problem, bro? And like, we still had 20 minutes on the highway and he was behind me. Like, every 5 seconds I look back, he'd be like, what? What up, man? And I was like, oh my God, I just did the dumbest fucking thing in my
car. There's no way out of that. You can't just be like, sorry, man, I was doing a
Yeah,
monologue.
Exactly.
Like, oh, this guy's actually a psycho. I'm more concerned now.
I was just doing a monologue from The Core. Sorry if it offended you.
That's insane.
But, I do that shit all the time as well. I have arguments on the way home, just like, just like in my own head, just like, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm alone in my car.
Just out of nowhere, yeah. I have arguments all the time. Like, you know, I'll be like, fuck, what happened there? I can't believe you said that. Like, who are you talking to?
You fuckers must be the worst on long haul flights. Just forget you're on a plane and start fucking monologuing in the sky. Brutal.
It's like, who are you arguing with? The man from 3 years ago, clearly.
The president from the core. That's who I have issues with. Oh, man. I watched a weird movie the other night. It was called... Oh, fuck. What was it called? It was The Menu. Yeah, it was about...
Oh, like, yeah. I've seen The Menu.
Yeah. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, I've never seen it. Was a different kind of movie. Like, I didn't, you know, I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah,
because I went and saw it at the movies with my girlfriend, and she's just like, it's a cooking movie. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then everyone got murdered. I was like, oh,
it's kind of a
this
horror.
Is different.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Fight Club meets MasterChef.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good. That's a very apt.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Check it out.
The main character shoot himself in the face.
No,
but no. So
he does light everyone on fire at the end.
Oh, did you hear about the dude who got lit on fire down the road here?
What? No.
Yeah, the kebab store.
What?
On King Street.
A dude got lit on fire.
Yeah. Bashed him and lit him on fire.
The kebab owners.
I don't know. I just saw like there was a New South Wales alert, Newcastle critical incident.
Fuck?
When was this?
Day before yesterday, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Lit on fire.
Lit on fire.
Fucking hell.
That's fucking wild.
That's very wild. Yeah, did he live?
I don't know. No idea. They didn't
You know,
say.
This isn't the first story of someone being lit on fire in Newcastle.
Yeah.
It happened out like near Redhead a few years ago too. Yeah. And that guy was...
I reckon that'd be the most awful way to die, being on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, maybe. It's apparently not that bad because you suffocate pretty quick.
Okay. So like, yeah, well, goody. Yeah.
Did you hear that on an interview with a person who died from being lit on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, it was like they tried to save her. They put it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But she was already dead because when you get lit on fire, you're on fire and you're breathing in fucking flames that torch your lungs and then you pass out from inhaling flames.
Thank fuck.
I heard that. There was a story in Brisbane, actually, where, you know, when you go for, like, a camera up the bum?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll
yeah, or, like, bum
tonight.
Surgery.
Yeah, I've got a whole bit on colonoscopies.
apparently, there was a surgeon in Brisbane, like, a gastro dude, and, you know, he was doing surgery, and he, like, one of the rules is don't eat breakfast or whatever, and you need to have, like, you can only have a light meal, but this person didn't even read that and just ate. Yeah, apparently, he was using, like, some sort of a... Yeah, it was like a laser.
Oh,
like for hemorrhoids, and they farted, and the flame went down his throat and destroyed his lungs, and he died.
Oh, fuck.
Good.
Yeah.
That'll fucking learn ya.
That does sound like one of those things that we have to Snopes to see if it was like, it does sound like a fucking chain email. Yeah.
But I just went, oh, that's a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
But I never verified it.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine the world.
We refer to that on the pod as backburning.
Yeah.
Because like unfact-checked, just like stories that you hear. Like back in the day, no one had any idea of like whether that's true or not. You go, yeah, it sounds fucking viable. So... we'll go along with it, but Mitch was notorious for just like, this thing I heard from ages ago.
Yeah, I'll have like half-remembered stories from when I was a kid. I'll just regurgitate it like fact, and Ethan will be like, oh, yes, fair enough. And then he'll go Google it and come back 10 minutes later and be like, no, cunt. What are you talking about?
That's like that story I heard in India. Someone, you know, you can get like an air compressor, and you can get like the attachment for it that just like blows air.
Yeah.
And apparently, someone put one up some other dude's ass and pulled the trigger, and it like fucking went up into his guts and just like exploded him, and he died.
Oh,
there's another one of those stories that you hear and you're like, is that fucking true?
Okay, maybe that's the worst way to die.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, put me on fire any day.
Yeah, he might have like the air might have like ruptured his bowel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen Kenny versus Spenny. You ever watch that show?
Yeah, I loved Kenny versus Spenny. That was so good.
He can blow the biggest fart.
Oh,
he gets like one of those hand pumps and puts the tube up his ass.
Yeah.
And he just uses it because it doesn't actually, because it's air.
Yeah.
So he's got no methane, and they'll use it a methane measuring fucking device to see who could blow the biggest fart. But he just used it to like psych the other dude out.
Yeah.
And then he spiked all of his food with, like, anti-gas.
That's right. Yeah.
So old mate can't fart. And then he's walking around the house, like, ripping huge farts. And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to lose.
Yeah, because Spenny's, like, a big nerd, so he plays by the rules. And Kenny just fucks Spenny all day long.
Yeah.
And I swear, Spenny probably could have sued the show, because there was one episode where I can't remember what it was, but Kenny got an X-ray machine
put it on his
balls all night.
Yeah. Stop him from making sperm.
And then he got radiation poisoning. He was like vomiting the next day. And then in the credits, he's like, the producers showed him what was up. He's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. He's like, I am walking. If anything like that happens again, I am fucking walking. This is bullshit. He quit the show like four times.
Holy shit.
And then he had to keep coming back with a contract. And be like, no, you can't quit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have to pay all the production costs for the season. He's like, oh, I guess I can't quit.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
He was just too much of a... He was too much of a nice boy to be on the show, I thought.
But he wasn't, though. That's the thing.
Yeah? So
he's actually low-key a piece of shit.
Mm.
So he has this holier-than-thou thing, but there was one episode where it was like, who can sell the most Bibles? And... Kenny fucking tricks him into thinking his script got picked up by Hollywood.
Oh, he is that Robert De Niro?
He hires a Robert De Niro fucking impersonator to come in, and he's like, yeah, hey, it's Bob De Niro here. He's like, yes, Mr. De Niro. He's like, we really love the script. We're going to fly you out to Hollywood. Like, yeah. Does first class work, all this stuff? He's like, yes. So Kenny,
that's right.
Kenny buys him plane tickets with Spenny's credit card. And then Spenny's like, fuck this show, I've made it. You guys are all pieces of shit. Just like writes the crew. Is this a total fucking swami cunt? Like the entire episode. Flies to Las Vegas, gets there, and then like waits there for like 6 hours. He's like, they're not coming.
Of course they're not coming.
Kenny sells like one Bible and wins.
Yeah.
And he flies back and has to do the humiliation. Because if you lose, you have to do the humiliation. So, Kenny will like fucking shit on him or something.
Fucking show business.
Yeah.
And anyway, so for Weird Wednesdays, we're doing a roast battle for the first Wednesday, which is next Wednesday. And
are you guys good at writing roasts?
Yeah, so I'm on the one for next Wednesday, so I've got a few.
Do you know who's up? Like,
we know whoever.
So you can pre-write?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it, I think. Otherwise, it's too generic and it's so hard to do on the spot.
And 100%.
Yeah, it's hard.
One of the comics, Broden Shearer, won't send any of ammunition to the person he's versing.
Oh, is he doing that deliberately?
I don't know.
Oh,
so you can ask questions and be like, hey, you know.
Yeah, we've got a group chat that all the comics are in for the roast, and we're all like sharing info, like roast me about this and this, like, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Cool.
So Paige is like, yeah, he hasn't sent me anything, and I was like, all right, here you go.
Yeah,
he lives with his mum.
He's got a dead brother.
yeah, he's got a gay brother.
He's got a gay brother and a dead brother.
Yeah,
I think that was the one thing he was, because we did a roast battle like a year or two ago, and he was like, "Yeah, just don't make fun of my dead brother." So yeah. I feel like if you don't put in a bio, fuck you. Making fun of your dead brother.
Yeah, I was like, he's fat. He's probably got a little dick.
Yeah.
Heaps of stuff. Paige is just standing there writing it all down. She's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I think
I got one for Broden. It's like a new one, like giant, making fun of his giant head.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's the biggest thing his mother's cunt has ever had in it since I fucked her. Which if he gets through, I'm fucking using that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going for the throat.
That's like, very good.
You have to with
my
Broden.
My roasts are like very like, I'll start out like gentle, like just dumb, like. Fucking roast, and then gradually like amp it up until the last one. It's just like, fuck, even though I feel bad about saying this, but this is what I wrote. I'm sorry. But it's a roast battle. Fuck it. You got to be savage.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I might have to do an hour at the Stag. There's not going to be anyone there.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping I get out early so I can come on over and do a spot and help you out. So
that's all right.
Yeah.
I will just do like all my material up there. I don't care.
Yeah.
It'd be sick.
No, thanks honestly. For running that for me.
That's I'm all fucking
right. Making fun of gay people.
My approach to roast battles, I just make shit up about them. So
yeah, like, I thought about this for my.
Sometimes
roommate.
I have slides about, oh, look at his latest comedy post, and I'll have something blank. I'm like, oh, what does this say? And it'll be like, loves KKK people, like comedy, comedy for the KKK. I'm like, whoa, that's very stupid. Funny, yeah,
I was thinking about doing that with my roommate if I end up in a battle with him at the end, just making up fucking. All this shit about him, like living with him and shit that he's done that he hasn't done.
Yeah.
He killed a toddler.
Yeah. I'd laugh. Yeah. If I was an audience member, like, yep, that's a good one.
Yeah. Like, he did get so drunk the other month that he passed out in the toilet and, like, smashed his head on the glass and, like, knocked out two panes of glass in the bathroom.
Jeez.
Like, you're a fucking piece of shit, cunt. Just mix, like a proper conspiracy theorist, like, put a little bit of truth in there, but then just fucking extrapolate from that.
And yeah.
Like, well, if that was true and you just believe that, then surely this is true too.
Yeah. He was the one who stole Madeleine McCann.
Yeah. He's the one...
I was mid-drink when he said that.
He knows where William Tyrrell's buried.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, fuck. Dude, Ben set last night. You didn't hang around.
Yeah, I didn't hang around.
Holy fucking hell. Yeah, dude. Like, he went real well.
Yeah, he's been on tear.
People were stomping on the floor.
Yeah.
applauding. It was fucking insane. And gasping too.
Yeah.
Because Dan does fucked up comedy. But he's only got one gear and he's just like, he's getting it with both barrels. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He really doesn't care. Which is why he's opening for Isaac soon. Fucking good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He fits that perfectly.
100%. Isaac's going to have trouble. Yeah, Isaac's going to have trouble following him.
Yeah,
100%.
Isaac's crowd, yeah, fucking oh.
Yeah.
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 Fucking Benny boy. Yeah, Harry had trouble last night following him.
Mm.
Like, Harry's really fucking good, and it wasn't Harry's fault, too. The crowd was just so fucking rowdy after Ben.
Yeah.
It was just like people started heckling and shit, and they were pissed, and at the end of the night, he's gone on last. I'm like, yeah, Harry was fucking struggling to stay afloat.
Yeah.
Because you've just got this really bogan fucking doing 80s, early 90s style comedy, just fucking hammering the crowd with it. And then Harry's he's not a masculine man. And he's got to follow that.
You're trying to say he's petite?
He's effeminate. He's an effeminate male.
Or he's got a softer brand of comedy.
Yeah. It's a lot safer, he can do Sydney with that. Ben can't do Sydney.
Mm.
He's completely written off Sydney. He's just fuck Sydney. I'm not coming there. I fucking hate Sydney. Because he just dies in the ass every time he goes there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they just can't handle it.
So the Sydney room is more PC or whatever?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
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 Well, PC, they hate gross humour.
Mm.
You can get away with a lot in Newcastle that you can't in Sydney. I've
So when you go down to Sydney, do you have to really pull back on some jokes Sydney. Oh, you just take it to Sydney?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He's done it. He's out. I'm still trying to do it. But my style of humour is not as fucking in your face.
Yeah.
It's still pretty bad. Don't get me wrong. It's still pretty rough. But sometimes I can fucking pass. So, yeah. Plus I've got some fucking gay shit that I can pull out always.
Yeah.
That gets them on board. I'm fucking bisexual and now...
Bisexual. Never sucked a dick.
Well, not that you know of.
I was asleep while it happened.
I just don't suck them well.
Yeah. didn't do a good enough job.
That was one of the roasts I wanted to write for Liam. Because Liam is a gay comic that does a lot of comedy about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
One of his jokes is I don't feel like I'm a good gay. And I'm like, yeah, Liam, you're not. I've sucked more dicks than you and I'm only bi. What the fuck are you doing? Step up your game.
That's good.
I was chatting to a comic who's since come out as bisexual, but before he did, when you mentioned gay stuff around him, he'd actively get a little bit uncomfortable. You could see it in his body language. I remember just saying to him one day just how Liam would blow his mind. I'm like, he would give you the craziest orgasm, dude. You wouldn't even know. He would fucking dominate you. All this stuff. He's like, shut up. It's like he didn't want to sound homophobic, so he just had to stand there and I'm cruel. I'm so fucked up. Such an awful thing to say to someone.
You call it cruel. I call it in the closet, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that was Jared.
Yeah.
He came out and a week later got gay bashed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
this podcast. For this podcast.
What do you mean? He was on the podcast? Yeah, someone listened to it? Yeah, followed him home or something?
Yeah, some angry lesbian fucking accosted him at a gay event.
I think she was even a lesbian. I think she was there with a boyfriend.
What was she angry about? Oh, that he came out gay?
No.
Where he's like, I'm gay and I hate it. Or something like that?
Yeah, he's talking about...
He's talking about her friend that he was trying to bang because he's bi. And he was saying that she had an OnlyFans or something. And apparently that was enough. I don't know.
Jesus.
Third hand information, but fuck, it's pretty funny that he got bashed by a chick.
Yeah.
Did he end up in hospital bashed?
No, chick wouldn't put anyone in hospital like that. Come on, mate.
Yeah. It's funny.
She wasn't not enough Rousey.
Not enough for a Band-Aid chair. But.
Yeah. It's just funny to say this podcast got someone gay bashed.
I got hit up to do a
I heard he got lit on fire outside the convention. Yeah.
I got hit up to do a show. It's a gay comedy show on the late October. And I think Brooke and Eddie are on it too. And I'm like, fuck, how am I going to go on that if I do that show?
Eddie's not gay.
I know. He's just going, oh, suck cock. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Have you heard how much I suck cock? That's all Eddie said. Fuck you, Eddie. I'm gearing up to roast Eddie too. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite, this is my favorite roast for Eddie, is I call Eddie the breathalyzer because people only blow in them when they're drunk.
That's funny. Holy shit, that's actually really good.
Yeah, it's a good nickname.
I'm fucking spewing, I'm going to miss this show.
So where are you at the Stag?
Yeah.
What's the Stag?
It's open mic. Runs once a fortnight at the Stag and Hunter in Mayfield here.
Okay.
Pretty good, it's a pretty good room. Like,
it's a crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you get punters in. When during COVID, just after COVID sort of started easing, they had to do bookings for the thing. And we were getting like 40, 50 people in there.
Oh, like, shit.
Because everyone was just keen to come out and see a show.
Yeah.
So for a while there, it was like its own mini comedy club. It was right before this place opened. And then once this place opened, it sort of slowed down a little bit, I think. But
yeah, definitely.
It's also hard because open mics, it's like if you're going every week, you like comedy, you're seeing the same material every week.
Yep.
So it's just kind of hard, like getting the same punters in every week.
Mm.
Unless you try and write
a lot of repetitive shit, and once they've seen it, they're just like, "Oh fuck these cunts again."
Yeah.
Because you run a room up in Queensland, don't you?
Yep, I run a show at Big Fork Theatre every second Sunday, and it's kind of like it's like an open mic semi. It's kind of like the up and comers of Brisbane.
Yep.
So it's not a place where you'd come and do like say your first set or whatever. So it's more curated. It's like a $10 ticket.
Yeah.
So it's not like crazy expensive, but, and I'm happy for people trying new material.
Yeah.
But I kind of want them to be at a more experienced level. So, It's like you can try new material, but you have kind of an idea of like the percentage, you know, the risk of like, this is pretty much go all right, I think. Yeah.
And you do the comedy sandwich of like, good bit at the start and then some shit in the middle and then end good.
Because when you first start, you have no idea what's funny. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what's funny to you and then you say it on, then you're like, oh, everyone hates me. Okay.
And that's basically the first 2 years.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. First 10 if you're not.
Yeah. Do you get, everyone's got like a fucking, an open micer in their town that's just like been doing the same shit for fucking ages. They just haven't hung up the gloves yet. They're just still fucking going.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like people that, definitely have some. I'm not going to name any names, there's definitely a few people, absolutely, who, don't work as hard as other people.
Yeah.
100%.
That's all it is too, man. Like, fuck. You got to put the work in too. Like, you can't just come, keep turning up, doing the same shit and expecting a different result. It's never going to fucking happen.
It's crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they just don't realize they're bombing half the time.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a bit of that. It's just like, they get off stage and it's going awful and like, oh yeah, it went all right.
Well, that's really important, isn't it?
Self-reflection.
Self-reflection.
Record your set. Listen to it back.
I've seen a lot of comics bomb and they're like, man, I did so good up there. You're like, what set were you present in?
I always ask when they say that, I'm like, did you record it? That's what I'll ask.
Yeah, and everyone will say, nah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I always record my sets. And it's not that I listen back to every one of them, but if I say something new that gets a good response, I'm like, oh, what exactly did I say? Just saying, if that's a new tag, words?
I forgot to do that with sets before too, and then like I've done something a little bit different to how I would normally do it, and it's gone really well. Just like riffed an extra line or something like that, and I'm like, oh, that got a pop, and then fucking forgot to record it.
It's the worst.
And if I just don't go like straight away and write it down, like it's just gone.
Yeah,
like you'll just forget it, and it's like fuck, just lost that 100%.
Yeah, I had two two tags work last night that I tried out for the first time.
Mm.
And then I had that one joke about fucking tractors.
Dude, you've got to stop doing that fucking joke.
Oh, dude, they fucking...
Come on. How long have you been trying to make that work?
About 3-4 weeks now.
No, it's been longer than that.
Yeah, it's about... And I performed it, that joke. The fucking tractors, that punchline gets a laugh, but I'm trying to, like, build on it because it's just a funny premise in my own head anyway. And then last night it just fucking handbraked my set. I was like, well, that's a new joke. And that got exactly the response I wanted. And then that got a laugh. I was like, all right, sweet. Yeah. I've reset. And then I went and did some more material.
Yeah. I hate when you have a premise in your head, which you're like, oh, this is a good one. But then no one else is like, nah. And you're like, but it's gold.
Yeah.
It is, though. Like, I firmly believe, like, if you think it's funny, it definitely is. It's just like, I haven't done the work to figure out how to make them understand what.
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes you have to translate it into just like normal crowd.
Sometimes it can be as simple as like a couple of words put in a different place or the tone you present it in. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Like sometimes I won't go as good as other times. I'm like, why is that? And then it's just because I didn't kind of lean into my stand-up character as much as I usually would.
Yeah.
It was like a shitty day at work or something. I was tired. I'm like, go up and like, hey, whatever. And you're like, oh, that didn't go as well. It's just because I wasn't me, my normal self.
Yeah.
The worst is when you get a bit arrogant and you're like, it's such a hot night. Everyone's crushing and you're like towards the end. You're like,
no.
I'm going to fucking kill it. And you like don't even get in the zone or anything. You're just like, it's going to happen, baby. And then you go up and eat like the biggest shit. Yep. You're like, no.
Yeah.
And that's the worst bomb because they don't laugh because you're not funny that night. It's not because... Yep. Or whatever, it's just you.
Yeah, there's no blame in the crowd on that one.
As soon as you get a little bit of ego about it, you're fucked.
It's like, the saddest drive home. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I can take it. If it's a hard night and everyone else is doing average as well, that's fine. I don't give a shit about that. But it's when it's yours to win and then you just totally eat it. You're like, oh, man.
Like, you're just reconsidering your life choices on the way home. You're like,
that's interesting that you say that you got a comedy character too. Is that from like improv, like you've created?
I don't know. I think everyone. It's not just. I think everyone has like a sort of a stand up persona, and it could be like an enhanced version of themselves. You know, like everyone's a bit different. Like you see those dry comedians who aren't particularly dry when they're off stage, but as soon as they get on stage, they're like, you know, they're quite dry and they talk slow and stuff. And you're like, oh, that's a different person altogether. But this person works for them. And that's the character they've created to perform, to, you know, do stand up through. So, you know, everyone has like, you know, some might be like slight versions of themselves that haven't changed much, but everyone has a stand up character.
Yep.
When I first started comedy, I get off stage and people are like, why are you in an English accent? And I'm like, what? So apparently my stand-up character for the first, like, you know, 6 months was like, hello.
Hello, governor.
And I couldn't turn it off. I'm like, don't do it tonight. And I'd be like, hello. What's the deal with driving? And I'm like, why am I doing this? Even though I was like aware. As soon as someone said it, I'm like, oh, my God.
That's crazy.
And that took ages to get rid of. But, my stand-up character is like just a hand-up version of myself. Like, I'm a bit like, hey, you know, a bit silly, a bit...
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same. I, like, just sort of turn my own personality up sort of to 11.
Yeah.
And just, like, say fucked up shit.
That's the thing. People laugh. And I respect the shit out of dry comedians because I'm, like, quite energetic. Like personality on stage, so I can just through my personality alone, I can turn like a I don't know, like a 4 out of 10 joke into like a 7 out of 10 joke just through my energy.
Yep.
But if you choose to be a dry comedian, every joke just has to be good.
Mm.
Yeah,
like every joke has to just be like, you know, 8 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, 10 out of 10s. So I think it's a harder form of comedy to do dry.
Yeah.
So I respect the shit out of that.
The jokes are going to stand on their own.
100%, yeah. It's because I have the energy just to will over a punchline.
Yeah.
Whereas they just deliver a punchline like, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And if it's not funny, they're like, whatever. Like, oh. Oh, shit.
Those bombs, you can at least, like, when you're doing, like, a character or sort of performing your jokes more, you can kind of just almost pass off as not being self-aware. You're just doing your set and you're committing, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But if you're doing it dry,
yeah,
and it's that silence when you're up there and it's like,
100%.
And your jokes aren't landing, you're like, whoa, that is... I think a lonely night.
I think energetic comedians can win the audience back faster after a joke goes bad. Like last night, you had that punchline where you're like, well, I'll never do that again. And then the audience was immediately like, back on your side.
Yeah.
Whereas it's hard to be like, well, I won't do that. Well, maybe that might work. That's kind of funny. I won't do that again.
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
What are they doing out there?
Fucking
Jesus Christ.
WWE match out in the toilet.
Getting ready to light someone on fire. Don't fuck with the Turkish boys.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck. You, so, you mentioned you've done a couple of hours now over the last few years.
Yeah, so I've done three full-hour shows, and I've done, me and my girlfriend, Taylor, who's also a comedian in Brisbane, we do a sketch show together called Date Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Just been, at the moment, we're kind of traveling around with that. So we're doing Melbourne Fringe and a couple other places in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Sick.
And then in November, I'm actually doing another trial, just like a work in progress show back in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So did you just start doing comedy up in Queensland? And
yeah, like I started stand up. My first set was Raw.
Oh,
years ago, like 2015, yeah. And I ate so much shit.
Yeah,
I was following a comedian called Aaron Pratt, who's a very funny comedian in Brisbane, and they crushed it in front of me. And I was like, I'll just ride this guy's coattails, the energy. And then I went out, and like the whole audience just reset. I'm like, hello, and then I just bombed for 5 minutes. And but I enjoyed being on stage though.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people who haven't continued and like, oh, that was rough. I'm never doing that again. But I was like, I enjoyed just being on stage and be like, oh, this feels different. So yeah, just continued with it and just found my straps. And
I find that so crazy that like people find out that you can do like open mic sort of thing through Raw. Like that's
when they
first do their first set. Like that's insane to me. I would never do that.
Yeah. Well, it worked for me because I was so nervous about doing stand up. That actually just booking a spot the normal ways, I would never have done it because I was just so nervous. But when I signed up to Raw, they just gave me a date and a time.
Yeah, see, like I'm
and I was like, okay, that's what I focused to. It's kind of like those stand-up comedy courses.
Hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people, you know, regardless of how you feel about stand-up comedy courses, I think people who do well in stand-up comedy courses probably would have done well without the stand-up comedy course anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the stand-up comedy course gives you a bit of structure to those who are a bit like, you know, maybe hesitant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas they'll come in, they'll be like, hey, we got a grad show, and you'll do that grad show. And you're like, oh, okay, I'll be ready for that.
Yeah.
So it gives them a little bit more structure and confidence with their stand-up.
Yeah, and then confidence is a major thing.
Yeah. And I think that's why some stand-up comedy courses actually do help those kind of people.
Yeah.
Because I know people who just like, you know, they don't have any. They're like, yeah, I'll just sign up to do open mic next week. You're like, really?
Yeah.
I would never have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time, like, I'll see punters, like, come up to me after a show and like, oh man, like I really want to try out stand-up comedy. Like how do I get into it? I'm like, oh yeah, come to an open mic. I said, but if I can give you any advice, go away for a few weeks and write your set. Like write out 5 minutes, put it down for a week and then come back, edit it, make it as short as you can, and then come up and do it then.
Yeah, 100%.
And like if you because it's like it's one of those things. It's important to like write a 5 minutes, but it's also important to edit it with a fresh mind, to have like sort of a week reset where it's almost out of your head, and then you come back to it as if it's with someone else who's written this.
We've all done that. You're like on the way to a gig, and you're like, "Oh, that's fucking funny. I'm going to try that tonight." And then it just eats shit. You're like, "It was funny 2 hours ago in the car."
Yeah, I've literally had that. I'm literally like, I'll do a new joke. Yeah, that was funny on the car ride here.
Yeah, maybe I should have given it 24 hours and come back and looked at it again. Is this actually funny? Fuck, I don't know. It is very funny, though, like you were talking about, like comedy courses and stuff like that. And there's that old adage of, like, those who can do and those who can't. better not fucking teach comedy, cunt, because you, like, it's like, such a sinful thing to do for some reason in comedy. It's like, there's like a lot of people that don't like it, that people run comedy courses, and because it's like all that of like, oh, well, who are you to like think that good to run a course? Like, I've done gigs with this cunt. Like, how does he think he's good enough to run a course? Like, I don't know. It's really weird.
No, I understand that. But I think if you do run a comedy course, you need like years of experience.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be like maybe considered an old guard of like a certain scene or some of that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Even then, those people still get the fucking shits. Like Billy Connolly did one.
What?
Yeah, he did
that. And people were like, who are you?
Yeah, people were like, what the fuck is he doing
Billy,
this for? Yeah,
it's you're Billy Connolly.
It's like, why the fuck's he doing a comedy course?
What's
like,
your resume, man? Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
I've done it all.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Just picking it apart because like he didn't really write much, like his style of performing, but like he says that in the course and shit. I've like listened to it, but it's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It is a weird one.
Well, I think a comedy course is never going to make you funny, but it'll kind of help you with confidence.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
100% want. You'll never like, you can only, you know, you either have the chops to do it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you can never leave a course being like, I'm funny now. Yeah. Hooray.
And if the person running it has an understanding of, like, what the fuck's going on and can look at what you've written and go, like, oh, that wouldn't work. But if you say it this way, it would work if I did it that way. It might not work for you that way, but, like, here's how I would deliver it. But maybe you need to, like, look at it a different way. And it's usually just, like, when people start out, it's like, that needs to be shorter. Like, that's too fucking long-winded. You're going to make the crowd listen to 30 seconds of your bullshit before you hit them with like half a punchline. It's not going to fly.
Because I could never run a comedy course myself, I don't think, because I know how to make jokes funny for me and from my perspective, but I have no idea. Like if anyone ever comes up to me and says, hey, do you think this is funny? I'm like, sure.
Well, I think that's like,
you should give that a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think also just you can't like always say, this will be funnier if you do this or that. But you can, if you're a decent, experienced comedian, you'll know why it's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll know why that's not going to work on stage when someone's telling you a joke. Like,
hey, man, if you go up and talk about kicking a llama in the head after you did a rape joke, Dave, people aren't going to fucking be on board.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's not funny.
I feel like the rape bit's killing the llama bit. Maybe switch them around.
Yeah, yeah. But Matty B did a course here just for like a couple of the locals a while back on emceeing.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Because like, we hadn't really hosted.
You say Matty B?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Matty B.
Oh, he's legend.
Right. Yeah.
From Newcastle, but yeah.
Oh, is he from Newcastle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You grew up here.
Oh, wow. And now he lives in like the Northern Rivers kind of area. Yeah, I spent some time with him in Adelaide this year because he was down with John Peacock.
Yeah.
Doing comedy commune stuff. So, yeah, he's super lovely. Super nice guy. Really good MC. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got, like, a good understanding of, like, how to, like, tick the boxes, like, when you're MCing. Like,
yeah.
He's broken it down very, like, mathematically of, like just doing the shit that you have to do, like, introing the show. Like, basic shit that, like, when people start hosting, they don't think. Well, they probably think about it as just, like, oh, I've got to do the admin.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Or I've just got to get up and do 10 minutes.
Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just get up and start trying to be funny. And it's like, no, brother. There's a show you got to host. Like, say why we're here. I had to explain it to our mate Cabba, who's been getting into like hosting a bit more and stuff like that. And he's a fucking killer comic. Like, so good. But I explained it to him as like, you need to get consent from the crowd before you start hitting them with jokes. Like, you can't just go in there raw and just fucking start, because he's very like high energy. So it's weird to just like go to an open mic where there's just people hanging out in a bar and just be like, fucking.
Yeah, 100%.
Comedy's happening now.
I think you got to be likable to the audience. You don't have to be the funniest of the night, but you have to be likable enough to keep the crowd like, you know, engaged and the show moving along, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful that he came and actually fucking did that for us and was like, here's what I've figured out. It may or may not work for you, but here's how I do it and my, like, logic behind it. If it works for you, it works. Great.
He ran the course and everyone who went to the course just leveled up.
Like, yeah. Oh, great.
Like, it was, he's helped out. Like, I can't remember why I couldn't make it. I was doing something. I think I had COVID. Yeah, oh, I got COVID, so I couldn't go.
Yeah.
But yeah, the boys just sort of gave me the rough rundown, helped my MCing so much.
Yeah, big time. Bye. All right, the only segment that we have is have you been working on anything new for your comedy that, not even a, just a premise if you want, anything that's rattling around in your head that you've been thinking of? I've got one that I was thinking of at the farm the other day.
Yeah.
And it's some fucking stupid bit about intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And how, I know it's weird, if you go to the doctor as a fat person, they can't be hey, have you tried eating less? You can't say that to a fat person. Have you tried eating less? But you can say, hey, have you tried intermittent fasting? And they're like, oh, yeah, no. It's the same thing. It's the same. Have you tried eating less?
Yeah.
What the fuck? You have to hide it under this guise of intermittent fasting. Yeah. And then it's okay because we changed the words a little bit. Yeah. I don't fucking understand.
Yeah. As a fat person, I'm offended.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, sorry.
I want a public apology.
Have you tried intermittent fasting?
I have. That's why I'm so grumpy. That's why I follow people home and they honk their horn at me.
Yeah. Starving. Fuck it all.
I'm trying to write bits about... I've got one. This is my autism bit. The one I did last night. Which went well, which is good. I've written four or five new jokes last week, and at least one of them stuck, thankfully. I want to add to it to be like.
Anyway, fuck it, it's too late now.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's good. It's good. I've been watching it the whole time. Anyway, just being I making noises and doing voices.
Yeah.
It's my poor wife. Imagine having a dude inside her while he starts stimming. And I was just doing a fucking Japanese. I've got a pretty good Japanese voice.
Yeah.
It's not me being racist. It's just me putting on the accent to say the words.
Yeah.
But it's just me standing there humping in the air, in front of the crowd, just going, oh, hoyo gozaimasu. Oh, hoyo gozaimasu.
I don't think that's going to work.
No, probably not.
Somehow. I think you're fucked.
Yeah. And then I finish and I go, oh, arigato.
All right, you've sold me. That's actually kind of funny.
I got a bit that I want to talk about Uber Eats. I had a guy drop me a package the other day, and he's like, oh, can you just stand there with the package? And he took a picture of me holding the package.
I've heard about this,
And I was like, oh. And it's something, it's just to verify they deliver the meal, but he's he just took a picture of me holding it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's a great bit. That's a really cool. And I say I stole it. I'm like, I use that now. But not with food delivery. But if I drop them a mate home after an event, I take a picture of them getting out of the car just in case they get murdered later. They're like, oh, and the police are like, you're the last to see them alive. I'm like, nah, mate, I delivered him. He's A-OK. And it's just kind of just play with that premise.
I put him in a bag. I stapled him shut.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
right. The staples broken? Because I was the last one that stapled him shut.
And there's another one where my girlfriend, I'm always terrified because she makes the same sound effect for any good news or bad news.
Right.
So if I hear her make that sound effect and I don't see what caused it, I'm terrified.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she got she saw a huntsman spider and was like, in the house. But then 6 months later, she saw someone was trying to break into the house and she was like, And I'm like, that spectrum of danger is so fucking far. So anytime I hear, I'm like, oh my God, it could be anything. It could be anything literally behind me right now. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of those viral videos was going around. It was a trend of fake danger where one of the partners just reacts pretending that there's something happening, going off, and they're like, fuck, fuck. And then their partner just starts freaking out too.
That's a great prank.
They're like, oh, I think there's a bee or something fucking attacking me. And they're like, what is it? Shit.
That's great.
But it's like the same sort of thing where she's just like, oh, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah.
What's going on?
Like, sometimes I'll run through the house just for no reason. My wife will just be doing something, and then I'll just run through the house, make a bunch of noise. She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey.
You're keeping her on her toes.
Yep. You do it to the cat, too. Cat comes inside. Like, he's walking along all chirpy and happy. You're just like... You just fucking take an extra couple of little steps just to keep him on his toes. Yep.
All right, I think that'll fucking do us, eh?
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for coming on. Any shows you want to plug?
Well, thanks for having me. I had a great time. Thank you. I'm doing a show called Date Night at the Melbourne Fringe Festival from the 3rd to the 7th of October.
See?
I'm doing the Geelong Comedy Festival Date Night, I think the 26th and 27th of October. And that's about it.
Sick.
Yeah, nice. Get tickets. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Just coming on, Chris. Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
You can see us October 11th for our fucking awesome, awesome comedy show, Show Us Your Bits.
It's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope someone gets their dick out, but yeah.
Fingers crossed. I might have to do it.
Yeah. Well, we can do partial nudity.
Yeah. I'll go to pull my dick out, but won't. I'll just wear two pairs of underpants.
Can we get you in like a sumo outfit or something?
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, but we don't... We'll get me in some crazy outfit, but we don't acknowledge it the entire show. We won't acknowledge it the entire show, and I'll just make slight puns about how I'm dressed.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I've got some funny ideas for that show. It's going to be good. Yeah. One of them's going to be... Because we're going to try and get, like, variety acts on.
Yeah.
So people that aren't just doing comedy and we, like, they do, like, a five-minute thing. We've got a panel. We have a bit of a chat. But for comedians that just want to do, like, stand-up and, like, try their bits out and shit like that, we're going to make them do other shit while they're trying to perform. So.
Oh, great.
One of them's just, like, so it'll be, like, a lucky dip, go into the bucket and pull out a thing of what you have to do. One of them's just going to be, like, eating fucking boiled eggs while you're trying to do your set. Another one's going to be the accent chatterbox, which I'm very excited about. You know those chatterboxes from high school?
Oh, like yeah. Like, is that what they're called? They're called a chatterbox. Chatterbox, okay. Yeah.
So it'll be like, pick a number, pick a colour.
Yeah.
And then it's all just going to say Asian.
Oh, no.
Because they'll like obviously do the first one, it's Asian. They're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Do you want to try again? Okay, try again. It's fucking Asian again. Like, they're all Asian. Fuck.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. So just a couple of things to, like, fuck with them.
Yeah.
Make them try and juggle or something while they do this set. I don't know. I haven't done, like, so I can ride a unicycle and juggle, but I haven't done both for a while. So I'm going to try and learn how to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hard fall if you come off the stage face first.
Ah, well.
And that's how unicycles go.
We'll get insurance, won't we?
Yeah. Righto, that's the podcast.
Sweet.
All right.
Listening.
Thank you.
See you later, boy.
Bye.